15. Also, while we were gone, the Lord did lead us to a church there in Rochester, Minnesota. It's called New Testament Baptist Church. There are about 15 people. Converted a taxidermy shop into their church building. Definitely believe church truth, but it was just good to have a place to go and to fellowship with the Lord's people. The Lord does have His churches more than you and I will ever be aware of, and we need to pray for the Lord's churches. 2 Samuel 14, we'll begin reading with verse 28. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem, and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. When he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, "See, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire." And Absalom's son set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house, and said unto him, "Wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire?" And Absalom answered Joab, "Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, Wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me." So Joab came to the king and told him. When he called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. And the king, David, of course, kissed Absalom. In these verses, we read of Absalom, who was the third son of David. By way of background leading up to the verses we just read, Absalom had killed his oldest brother, Amnon, in revenge for the rape of his sister, Tamar. Following that, Absalom fled from Jerusalem for his life, and he was gone for 3 years. We see that in 2 Samuel 13, notice verse 37 and verse 38. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. There's a message there also. Verse 38. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there for 3 years. He was there for 3 years until David, the king and also the father of Absalom, was persuaded by Joab, his skilled and loyal general, to let Absalom return to Jerusalem. Joab then went to Geshur and brought Absalom back to Jerusalem. Notice verse 23 of chapter 14. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. But even after Absalom was allowed to return, he was not permitted to come into the palace or to see the king's face. This went on for 2 years. We see that in our text in verse 28. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. So you take the 3 years that he was in Geshur, and now he's back in Jerusalem for 2 years. It has now been 5 years since David and his son, Absalom, had spoken or seen each other. In our text, in verse 29, Absalom sent for Joab, desiring for him to intercede on his behalf. But we read there in verse 29, but Joab would not come. Absalom sent for Joab a second time. Again, verse 29. And again we read, he would not come. Two times in verse 29 we read those words, he would not. Joab had no interest in or regard for Absalom at this time. Absalom, wanting to get Joab's attention, sent his servants to set Joab's fields on fire. We see that in verse 30. Set his fields on fire while they were filled with barley. And this got Joab's attention, so much so that he went to Absalom's house. We read in verse 31 that he came to Absalom and he asked, wherefore have thy servants set my fields on fire? Absalom answered him in verse 32, basically saying, I did that, or I had them do that, to get your attention. To get your attention. Because I sent to you twice, and you would not. So I sent my servants to get your attention. And though Absalom was a wicked man, and though it was wrong for him to have his servants set fire to Joab's barley fields, there is a very valuable spiritual lesson here. You see, there's, as with most scripture, there's something bigger here than just a historical account of Absalom and Joab. In light of our text, we must ask ourselves, does God have our attention? That's a question that we must each ask ourselves. Does God have our attention? If not, we need to ask another question. What will it take for God to get your attention? Absalom got Joab's attention by setting his barley fields on fire. So I want to speak tonight on, does God have your attention? And I remind you that God can get our attention very easily. Does God have our attention? First thing we want to notice is Absalom wanted Joab's attention. Absalom had not seen or spoken to his father David again in 5 years. And though Joab was, again, he's David's general, though Joab was a very busy man, certainly he was a man who had many responsibilities, Absalom at this time wanted his immediate and full attention. Absalom wanted Joab's complete focus regarding this matter between him and his father. Absalom wanted Joab's immediate consideration regarding this matter. He wanted Joab to be mindful of this matter. But twice we read, he would not. In other words, Absalom did not have Joab's attention. And again, I remind you, there is something bigger here than what transpires between Absalom and Joab. The question is, does God have our attention? Does God have our attention? All through the Word of God, our attention is directed toward God. We read in Job 22 and 21, acquaint thyself with God. That's drawing our attention to the Lord. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In other words, in every event, in every circumstance, in every situation, in every place, in every condition, acknowledge God. Take notice of God. Pay attention to God. We read in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. God is not just to be a passing thought every now and then. Our mind is to be stayed on God. In other words, He wants our attention. Again, there's something bigger here than Absalom and Joab. God wants our attention. He wants our attention upon Him. We read in 1 Samuel 12 in verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, and consider how great things He hath done for you. That again is a call to give attention to God. Job 37 and verse 14, hearken unto this. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Hebrews 3:1. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Again, all of these verses is a call for you and I to give our attention to the Lord, to focus our attention upon the Lord. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Colossians 3, verse 2, we are called to set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. So there should be no doubt as we read through the Scriptures that God desires our attention. He not only desires our attention, He demands it. And He not only demands our attention, He demands priority. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first, that's priority, the kingdom of God. In other words, God doesn't just want our attention, He wants our undivided attention, because He said in Matthew 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters. In other words, He wants our undivided attention. But the question is, does God have our attention? Does God have our attention? Every single one of us here that have been saved, whatever, wherever we are right now spiritually, whether it be in a good place or a bad place, God has had our attention at some point. He got your attention when He saved you. And since He saved your soul, there have been times when God has had your attention, your undivided attention. But that's not just to be an every now and then thing. God is to have our attention. Secondly, not only did Absalom desire the attention of Joab, he had a message for Joab. Verse 29, Absalom twice sent for Joab with a message. A message specifically for Joab, not for anyone else. Again, there's something bigger here than what occurred between Absalom and Joab. The Bible makes it very plain in numerous ways that the Lord speaks. In Jeremiah 37 and verse 17, Zedekiah the king took Jeremiah out of the prison, brought him secretly to his own house, and asked him a question. He said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah replied, there is. And I assure you that is always so. That is always so. There is always a word from the Lord. He has a message. God who cannot lie, God who cannot be wrong, God who cannot be inaccurate, has something to say. Now, if we knew somebody that it was not possible for them to lie, it was not possible for them to be wrong or inaccurate, I believe they would get our attention. That is God. He cannot lie. It's not just He won't lie. He cannot lie. Because the lie He would deny Himself. He cannot be wrong because He would have to cease to be God. Just considering who God is should get our attention. He has something to say. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere present. And He has something to say. The fact that God speaks, the fact that He has a message, means that He expresses, He reveals and makes known Himself. That should get our attention. He expresses, reveals, and makes known His will. He expresses, reveals, and makes known what pleases Him. But are we listening? He reveals to us what is right. He reveals and makes known what is best, what is most advantageous to us. God speaks. And what God says is what will work. It's what will work. Everything God says will work. The problem is many people just haven't tried it. It'll work. Oh, it's so hard, they say. It'll work. What God says will work. And it will bring about that which will glorify Him. Be sure of this. God does not speak without reason. A lot of people talk without reason. God never speaks without reason. God never speaks without purpose. God never speaks without cause. And He never speaks that which is unnecessary. Oh, we've all done that. And we continue to do that. We say many things that are unnecessary. We say things that are unimportant. God never speaks anything that is unnecessary. Everything He speaks is necessary. Everything He speaks is important. That should get our attention. God has something to say. He not only has something to say, but He speaks directly, He speaks specifically to His sons and His daughters. Now, I believe God speaks to everybody, even lost people. Creation speaks. Creation speaks of God. God speaks through creation. But God speaks in a special way to His sons and His daughters. And we see this throughout the Word of God. We read in Genesis 8 and verse 15, "And God spake unto Noah." Genesis 35 and 15, God spoke to Jacob at Bethel. Genesis 46 and verse 2, we read, "God spake unto Israel." Deuteronomy 1 and verse 6, "The Lord our God spake unto us at Horeb." And we read 105 times, "The Lord spake unto Moses." 105 times, "The Lord spake unto Moses." There's a message there also. God was always speaking to Moses, and Moses was listening. God had the attention of Moses. So let there be no doubt, God does speak to His people. He speaks to His sons and His daughters. It may be a word of instruction. It may be a word of information. Nobody has better information than God. It may be a word of command. It may be a word of direction. It may be a word of exhortation. It may be a word of warning. It may be a word of correction. It may be a word of comfort. But whatever form it comes, God has a message for His people. And God speaks to His people. He speaks to us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks to us through His Word. He also speaks to us through providence. The everyday happenings of life. But God speaks. And God has something to say about every aspect and every phase of my life, every aspect and every phase of your life. I'm glad that there will never be an aspect, there will never be a phase of my life that God does not have something to say to me. God speaks. He has something to say about the way we live. He has something to say about the way we dress. He has something to say about the places we go. Not only the places we go, when we go. God has something to say about everything. He has something to say about the people you associate with. He has something to say about where you live, who you'll marry, where you'll go to school, what you should study at school. Something to say about your job, your home life, your role as a spouse, as a parent, as a child. God always has something to say. And He speaks to you and I, His children. He has something to say about our church life. And on we could go. But the point is, every aspect and every phase and every event of our life, the Lord has something to say about absolutely everything in our lives. Again, in the text, there's something bigger here than what occurred between Absalom and Joab. Does God have our attention? Do we know when God speaks? Can you hear the whisper of God? Can you hear the silence of God? Does God have your attention? Now, consider the message of Absalom to Joab. Absalom's message was aimed at Joab. It was for Joab. It wasn't for anyone else. It was for Joab. And Joab would not. Though the message was aimed right at Joab, Absalom did not have his attention. But again, there's something bigger here than what occurred between Absalom and Joab. God speaks directly to you and I. He aims the message. Whatever it is He has to say to us, He can speak to us in church. He can speak to us in our houses. You can't get away from the voice of God. And if you're a child of God, you cannot get away from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God speaks directly to us. He aims the message right at us. But the question is, does He have our attention? Does God have our attention? Also, Absalom's message to Joab was plain. It was a very plain message. He needed Joab to intercede on his behalf before his father David, the king. The message was very plain. What was Joab's response? He would not. Though the message was plain, though the message was aimed directly at Joab, Absalom did not have Joab's attention. But again, there's something bigger than what occurred between Absalom and Joab. God's message is plain. It's not complicated. God does not speak to you and I in mysterious words. Many would like to believe that because that gives them an excuse. But God speaks very plainly. Very plainly. And He speaks in a language that you and I understand. I don't know how many languages there are in the world, but God speaks every one of them. And He speaks in our language. And the message is very plain. But the question again is, does God have our attention? Does the Lord have my attention? Does God have your attention? Absalom's message to Joab was specific. It was direct. It was plain. It was specific. He wanted Joab to make it so that he could go into the presence of his father, the king. It's been 5 years. But Joab would not. Though the message was specific, Absalom did not have Joab's attention. But again, there's something bigger here than Absalom and Joab. The Lord speaks specifically. But the question is, does He have our attention? And then you'll notice that Absalom's message to Joab was a repeated message. He sent the message twice to Joab. He sent to him the first time, and Joab would not. So, he sent the message a second time. And again, the same response. Joab would not. Though the message was repeated, Absalom did not have Joab's attention. But again, there's something bigger here than Absalom and Joab. The Lord repeats, not just twice, but over and over and over again. The message, does He have our attention? Oh, the long-suffering of God. To me, it's one of the most amazing things about God. The long-suffering of the Lord. God, I dare say, speaks to every one of us something and we do nothing about it. And that's been going on in some area of our life our entire saved life. But he just keeps on sending the message. That's long suffering. But again, the question is, does he have our attention? And that brings us to the third point. Absalom took measures to get Joab's attention. Twice, Joab neglected the message. In other words, he paid it no mind. He just went on doing whatever it was that generals did in those days. He was aloof. He was indifferent. He was insensitive toward the matter of the message. No doubt he had other matters of concern, being a general. No doubt he had other things to do. No doubt he was preoccupied. But Absalom wanted Joab to act. Absalom wanted Joab's attention. Absalom wanted Joab to take this matter seriously. But Absalom did not have the attention of Joab. So Absalom, unlike God, got desperate. God never gets desperate. But Absalom, now out of desperation, calls his servants and he says, I want you to go and set his fields on fire. Now's a good time to do it because they're filled with barley. Go and set his fields on fire. And now you have Joab, who has no intention of paying any mind to the message of Absalom. And one day he looks out and he sees that his fields are on fire. And he knew that this was the work of Absalom. That's the message also that says something about the testimony of Absalom. But now Absalom had Joab's attention. But again, there's something bigger here than what occurred between Absalom and Joab. Does God have our attention? It took the burning barley fields to get Joab's attention. What might it take to get our attention? What might it take for some of God's people to pay attention to the Lord? Again, I remind you, God wants your attention. And I remind you that God can get your attention anytime and in any way that He so pleases. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful, again, that's part of the long-suffering of God. Here we are, we just continually neglect what God has to say. And God just keeps repeating the message. And then one day, God says, I'm going to get their attention. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. Not once, not twice, but over and over. Every day, every single day of my life and every single day of your life, God sends a message to us. And the message is this: believe me. Believe me. Many times our response is that of Joab, and he would not. But God just continually sends the message: believe me. He continually sends the message, trust in me, rely upon me, lean upon me, have complete confidence in me. And he sends that message over and over and over again. Again, I don't believe there's a day that goes by that message does not come to you and I in some way. Believe me. But does he have our attention? And if not, what might it take for God to get your attention on this matter? Believe me. Trust me. Again, what God says is what's best. What God says is what's right. What is best for you and I is to believe Him, to trust Him. And time again, we would not. Twice, Absalom sent the message to Joab. Absalom didn't have much patience. Do you realize what a mess we would be if God only told us something twice before he acted? None of us would be here. God is patient. God is long-suffering. Not once, not twice, but over and over and time again, God sends the message to you and I, this is not our home. That we are to leave this world. I mean, every day that message is there. Things happen every day that remind us, this isn't my home. And there's a message that comes to us every single day. That we are to leave this world. That we're not to dig too deep into this world. That we are to leave the world's pursuits. And that we are to draw closer to God and have less and less and less to do with the world and have more intimate fellowship with Him. He hasn't just told us this twice. He tells it to us many, many, many times every single day throughout our lives. He speaks this message continually. The question for each of us is, does God have our attention? Does God have our attention? As many of God's people dig deeper and deeper and deeper into the world and become more and more entrenched in the world, can you really believe that God has their attention? I don't think so. And if God does not have our attention, what might it take to get your attention? God repeatedly and continually sends the message directly to us to pray. Every single day, God speaks. God speaks a message. God comes to every single one of us that know Him. And He says this, pray. The Holy Spirit tells us that. The Spirit of God tells us to pray. Our flesh tells us to do everything but pray. God's Word tells us to pray. Providence. I mean, the things you see every day, the things you experience every day, these are a call to pray. Not just twice does this message come, but every day, over and over. And how many, like Joab, will not? Instead of praying, they're going to figure things out. They're going to reason things out. They're going to analyze. And while they're doing all of these things, the message goes unheeded. Pray. 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 That's the message that we receive every day. Does he have our attention? I don't know what it's going to take to get some people to pray. Perhaps a dose of salvation. It amazes me that prayer is so foreign to so many people. God repeatedly and continually sends the message for you and I to let go. To let go. There's so many things we need to just let go. And we could go on all night. But we all know that there are things that we refuse to let go of. And God comes with the message over and over, let go. You know why we're to let go? So that we're able to cleave unto Him. You can't cleave to God if you're holding on to something else. So God says, let go. Let go. Does He have our attention? If not, what might it take for God to pry our fingers loose from whatever it is we're holding on to? Lastly, God repeatedly and continually sends a message directly to you and I. A very plain message. A very specific message. And it's one word. Repent. Repent. You realize when the Holy Spirit convicts you that something is wrong, that is a call to repent. It's not just a call to realize wrong, it is a call to repent. It is a call to turn from that which is displeasing to God. There isn't any one of us here that does not have things in our lives that displease God. We all have things in our lives that are displeasing to Him. And if we listen, we'll hear God say, repent. Repent. God still preaches repentance. God still sends a message of repentance. We all have things in our lives. We all do things in our lives that prove to be a hindrance to us spiritually. And God is always, not just twice, but continually telling us to leave these things, to repent, to turn. But again, the question is, does God have our attention? If not, what might it take for us to give attention to God's message of repentance? You realize that if we took heed every day to God's message of repentance, you would never get to the hog pen. You'd never make it that far. If you pay attention to God's message of repentance, you'll never end up in the hog pen. Never. You won't even leave the Father's house if you pay attention. But we all know God does not always have our attention. We determine this is what we're going to do. We determine this is how it's to be done. And it doesn't matter what God says. We're not listening. He doesn't have our attention. So I ask you again, does God have your attention? Absalom had absolutely no right to set fire to Joab's barley fields. That was wrong. But God, He has every right to set fire to any barley field because it's His. God has every right to take anything from you and I. Anything. And it doesn't mean, and like Joab, like Job's friends, people jump to the conclusion many times that if God takes something, it's because there's sin in the life. Not necessarily so. But I will tell you this. If God takes something, I would suggest you give Him attention. I would suggest you pay attention. God's telling you something. God's telling you something. You know, people say, I wonder if God is trying to tell me something. No, He's telling you something. Listen. Listen to what He says. What measures might God take to get our attention? Oh, that you and I would not be oblivious to the message of God. Aren't you glad that it's not just on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings that God speaks? God speaks to us every day, throughout the day. Again, 105 times God spake unto Moses. What a wonderful life! God spake. And God speaks to you and I. Oh, that we may never turn a deaf ear to what God says. May we never turn a blind eye to His personal message to us. Whatever message God is sending to us right now, don't linger. Don't linger. It might cost you a barley field. It might cost you something far, far more precious than a barley field. Does God have your attention? Make sure that He does. That each one of us would go from here tonight sure of this: God has my attention. Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. We ought to say that every day, many, many, many times throughout the day. Every time we open this book, we ought to say, Speak, Lord, Thy servant heareth. Every time we pray, prayer isn't just you and I talking to God, it's God talking to us. In fact, the most precious times in prayer is when you and I aren't saying anything and God's doing all the talking. And we ought to be praying, Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. You know, we have a tendency to ask God to speak to others, and there's nothing wrong with asking God to speak to others. We ought to pray for one another that God would speak to us. But our first prayer ought to be that He speak to us. That's where it needs to start. That God would speak to us, that God would have our attention. And God can get your attention. I'm so thankful He can, because I turned a deaf ear every single time I heard the gospel. Wanted nothing to do with it. But God got my attention. And He still does. He can get our attention. Thanks be to the Lord. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us, verse of song.